It's coming from that area in the Middle East. It's around. Who's Israel's enemies always been? It's always been. Yeah, is the Pope an Antichrist? Yes, but he's not the Antichrist.
We can think of several Antichrists right here.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Behind pulpits. Not even in Washington, D.C., but behind pulpits. So, yeah, there are everywhere. And that area there, you read Psalm 83, the Ten Kings, where it talks about the Ten Kings of Revelation, and yet in Psalm 83, there's these ten nations mentioned. Those are the nations that surround Israel.
That's right.
I want to say something too. Me and Rory were talking about it, and Wendy, you mentioned too, is what has come to my heart, I'd say, is the children.
Yes.
They're going after the children. They want to defile the next generation of little ones. That Florida thing, it's got nothing to do with being gay. It's about introducing children to sex. And that's what they want to defile them. When you introduce sex to a young mind, it affects them. And they're not ready for it, and it causes problems mentally with them. So pray for the children of the Lord to have mercy on these precious little things. It breaks my heart. It just shows you how wicked they are.
Yeah, recklessly wicked.
Yeah. Okay, so we were looking at the day of the Lord, and we could see that there is a chain of events that take place that day. To me, I believe the Bible teaches there is a chronology to the day of the Lord. And the first thing is the sun and the moon, and then he's going to appear, and there's going to be a harvest. But we also saw in that harvest, he's not only taking believers, he's bringing unbelievers. And he's believing unbelievers to what we've been studying last week, and we're in it again this week. He's bringing them to Armageddon. And you don't have to be a soldier to be brought to Armageddon. You just got to be on the wrong side of the team. Right? Because we saw last week where one is taken, the other left. One is taken, the other left. The ones that are taken are the ones taken to Armageddon. They're being brought to the Valley of Slaughter. So we're going to continue there with Armageddon. This, I guess, will be part two of Armageddon. We left off in Jeremiah. Yeah, let's look at that. We'll pick it up there since we left off there. Jeremiah 25. This just seems to be cut and dry, that there's no gray area. When he appears, either you're for him or you're against him. I just don't see a third group of people here.
Where are we at now?
Jeremiah 25 is where we left off last week. And let's pick it up. Let's look at 15.
15.
Yeah, let's pick it up. 15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink it, and shall be moved, and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Who's the sword? It's Revelation 19. It's Jesus Christ. It's the sword. Right? So what event is this? This is Armageddon. Right? And then I took the cup of the Lord at the Lord's hand, and made all nations drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. And then you can see 18 through 26, he's going to start naming nations and kings. But if you look at 26, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all kingdoms of the world, all kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Drink what? The cup of wrath without mixture. This is God's wrath. It's not watered down. It's without mixture. He's going to pour it on unbelieving people. Verse 28. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup in cup at thy hand to drink, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye certainly drink. You're not getting out of this. If you're an unbeliever, you're not going to get out of the valley of slaughter. 29, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and shall you be utterly, and thanks for that last week. Somebody told me it was a question there. Shall you be utterly unpunished? So he's even going to divide his people, Israel. He's clearly talking about the nation of Israel here too. So there's two, he's going to divide them too, and we know a third of them are going to be saved, which means two-thirds are going to be destroyed. Okay, 30, therefore prophesy thou against all them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mighty roar upon the habitation, and he shall give a shout, and they shall tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Okay, so let me go to 33. The noise shall come even from the ends of the earth, for the Lord had a controversy with the nations, and he will plead with all flesh, and he will give them that are wicked to the sword. There it is again, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day, from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth, and they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried, and they shall be as dung upon the ground. So, I mean, to me, I don't know what the controversies are here. It seems to me, when he's mad, he's going to get, his wrath is going to be filled up, he's had enough, and he is coming to slaughter people. The time of grace is over for them.
Amen. In my regular Bible reading this week, I came across Isaiah 24, verses 1 through 3. Just let me read it real quick.
Yeah.
Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it a waste, and turned it upside down, and scattered abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be with the people, so with the priests, and so with the servants, so with his master, and so with the maid and her maidress, and with the buyer and the seller, with the lender and the borrower, as with the teller and the user, so with the giver and with the usury of them. The land shall be utterly emptied, utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this in his word.
Is there a gray area there? It's clear to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
how many are going to be watched?
All. And he's naming who they are. Yeah. That sounds to me like just about every person between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to look at Isaiah. We're going to go through Armageddon, Isaiah. John, you want to read?
Sure.
Revelation. So just listen to these words. Revelation, the rest of us are turning to Isaiah 2. Revelation 6, 12 to 17, John. And then the rest of us are, listen to the words, and then we're just going to see words. And when you hear that, you know, God's going to wipe things out, he's talking about Armageddon.
Right.
There's only one Armageddon.
Right.
When the great white throne judgment is not Armageddon.
Right.
They've already been slaughtered at Armageddon. The great white throne judgment is when they are taken and cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Yeah. That's the second death. Okay, go ahead, bud.
And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
So, I mean, there you go. That's clearly not us. We're not hiding for him. Mm-hmm. We are lifting our heads because we see him drawing nigh. These are the ones that are at war with him, are his enemies, and he's saying they're going to try to hide themselves into the dens, into the rocks. And once again, he starts naming people, and he's talking about mankind, not just men. He's talking about mankind, and he's naming just about everybody, free and bond. So that's everyone. Either you're for him or you're against him.
What are,
What a dangerous place to be.
Right.
The first thing that came to my mind as he read that is those who are living in darkness definitely see the light. I mean, as we're accepted of Christ, we say, what have I done? Who am I that he should love
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now they live this life and they go, wait a second.
Yeah.
That is true. What I've heard all my life from somebody else that I've persecuted.
That's right.
Is true. Hide me. This yeah. he can't even see me.
That's right. And you're not going to hide from
yeah.
him.
You're not
right?
going to hide.
He can aim a hailstone while you're running in the rock. Right? You're not going to hide from him. So, yeah. I mean, just like you said, Al, this to me really, this really shook me up. That, you know, there, because when you read through Revelation and he appears, they don't turn to him. They're still blaspheming him. They're mad. You know, how dare you come and judge us? They're mad at him, and they still continue to blaspheme him. But yet, you know, they're going to try to run and hide. And it's not... So when he comes and destroys them, they don't get a second chance. It is over. That's all I see. It's over when he comes the second time. So Isaiah 2, 10 through 12... Enter into the rock. Oh, look at 9. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore, forgive them not. The age of grace is over when he comes. And he is not going to forgive people that have rejected the Son. So here you go again. This is Revelation. Enter into the rock and hide thee into the dust. For the fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Go ahead, bud.
Can I interrupt there?
Yeah.
You said... is over. I guess I'm confused about that because you talk about dispensationalism.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm confused. Isn't that a dispensation, or what am I?
Well, I mean, because grace is a dispensation. Grace has been dispensed. But what the pre-terpers say is that we're in this church age of grace that has never been before. You know, like we've been blessed these last 2,000 years like Abraham wasn't or David wasn't. But they were blessed just like we were. So when is the age of grace? From the time Adam and Eve fell till the time Christ appears. There's your age of grace. And we read in Ephesians that in the dispensation in the fullness of times, that he will gather all things together. So in that dispensation of grace that he started at the fall and he finished at his second coming, it's going to come to an end. And now you're going to taste his wrath if you were against him. And of course, if you're a child of God, you will always be under his grace forever and ever and ever.
Right.
But this choice, this point where he's allowing grace to make a decision for him, it ends when he appears. I don't see another group of people. I don't see any other chances. When he appears, it is over.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So when you say a third of the Jews will be saved, that has to happen before this time, right? Because they're not going to have that grace extended to that. Everybody is the same.
Absolutely, because in Zechariah it says when he appears, he's going to pour the spirit of grace and supplication on the Jews. So it is when he appears, right? So we've talked about this. You have that 3.5-year period that the daily sacrifice is going to be taken away and that the Antichrist is now going to rule. This is when Elijah and Moses are now witnessing the Jewish people and saying, you know that sacrifice that they took away from you? That sacrifice is Jesus Christ. So when he appears at the end of the 42 months, then they see us go up, right? The first shall be last, the last shall be first, the Gentiles go first. They see us go up, then they turn to Christ when they see him appear. But only a third of them. Don't forget, two-thirds are going to reject him.
When they look at him whom they pierce.
That's right.
So they've been hearing the gospel from the two witnesses, from the angelic host that flies all over the whole earth. expressing the gospel, the everlasting gospel to everybody who has an ear. There's only one third that are going to accept those messages.
That's right.
Everybody else is going to.
And don't forget, I mean, you constantly hear the synagogue of Satan, synagogue of Satan. That's not a church. Those are Jewish people that are worshiping the devil.
Right.
Okay, so just Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him. Who pierced him? The Jews did. Right? They also that pierced them, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So when is he coming to clouds? At the end of the world. When is the Jew get saved? At the end of the world. Right? That was Revelation 1:7, and if you want to write next to that 1:7, Zechariah 12:10. Look at 12. Well, you know what? Just stay in Isaiah. I'll read these to you. Zechariah 12:9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations. There's Armageddon, and come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, Jews, right? And upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Jews, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth as an only son, so shall the bitterness of him as one that is in bitterness of his firstborn. So you can see it. You can see clearly that, you know, when he appears is when they get saved. But yet, the pre-tribbers and the dispensationalists will tell you, well, they're being saved right now. No, they're not. I mean, see, they're no different than we are. They can get saved right now, but as a multitude of people, that's when they get saved. So when Matthew 24, Mark 13 says, so they'll take you into synagogues and into prisons, you know, they'll say, well, that's for the Jews. No, it's not. If there's a synagogue over there and it's a synagogue of Satan and they're arresting Christians, they're going to bring us into the synagogue. So this idea that Matthew 24 and Mark 13 is just for the Jews doesn't make sense. Okay, Isaiah 13. 3 to 13. We'll look at 1. The burden of Babylon. Is he talking about Nebuchadnezzar? But not really. What is Babylon? It's Mystery Babylon. So the picture here is Mystery Babylon. How do I know that? Because he's going to talk about end times. And who is Mystery Babylon? It's all the unbelievers. Okay, 3. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have called my mighty ones. For mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains is like a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. There you go. There's Armageddon right there. And they come from a far country, from the end of heaven. What's he going to do? There's a harvest coming. We were just read all these. From even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall all be afraid, and pains and sorrows shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, and they shall be amazed as one at another, and their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate and destroy sinners there out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world, for their evil and for the wicked, for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy and the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make man more precious than gold, and even as a golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Clearly verses that are saying, he's going to destroy them. He's going to destroy everyone. He's going to shake the heavens, shake the earth. And I think, Doug, like we were saying last week, this is what I believe when the stars come down, the angels come down. I don't think they come down before this. I think they come down on the day of the Lord The fourth kingdom that's coming, that's going to be the mingled kingdom, it's coming out of the pit. That's the 3.5 years when the devil opens up the bottomless pit and this hybrid nation comes up out of the pit, an army of mingled people with humans. But you're going to see the stars come down. The angels are going to get cast out of heaven to the earth on the day of the Lord. No, go ahead.
So I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
So there is no, I won't say that. Millennial reign and the release of Satan at the end of 1,000 years is not 1,000 years. If everything is destroyed here, then the lamb and the lion don't lay down. Then they don't bury their dead. Then they don't. The things that are talked about in that millennial reign, then I just want to understand, if everything is destroyed at Armageddon, then you're saying there isn't a millennial reign?
There is a millennial reign, but I think it's for us. I think it's just us. I think there is no more death. There is no more dying. I think when Christ comes, he destroys the wicked, and he casts them down into hell.
But it destroys the earth.
And he destroys the earth, which means the earth has to be regenerated. It means it has to be recreated. And what did Jesus say? My kingdom is not of this world. So if his kingdom is not of this world and he's coming with his kingdom, is he not coming with a new world?
But he is at the end of 1,000 years going to release.
Release them.
And in other words, the impression I get with some of the scriptures that talk about millennial reign is not necessarily everybody is saved in the millennial reign. And the enemy will release.
Can you give me a verse that shows that people aren't saved during? Then unsaved people are living
there
in the millennial reign. See, I think this is what we've been thrown at us. Because from what I can see, a lot of people don't even study any kinds of the Bible in the millennial reign.
I can't tell you where it is. But I do know that there is scripture about burying the dead, and it takes 7 years. And that takes place at Armageddon, at the time of Armageddon.
Yeah.
So many are killed, so many are slaughtered, that it takes years to bury the bodies.
Yeah, now I don't have a problem with things taking place during the millennial reign that are a cleansing thing that God is doing, but they're dead already.
But there's an earth.
Absolutely, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Right,
the globe of the earth remains the same. Yeah. Just the world powers, the mountains are down, and the oceans are no more.
Yeah.
So the earth as we know it as the continental United States
and
all that all changes.
Yeah.
But so the dead that are there,
there's
going to be a new earth, but the dead are still going to have to be buried.
They're dead, sure. And I mean, there could be something to it that is a cleansing process for the new heaven, the new earth. There could be a cleansing process for the new temple that could take place. Everything's not just cut and dry at, you know, the day of the Lord, and then, but I mean, from what I can see, where's his kingdom? Is his kingdom on the earth? Do you fly to Mars, turn left, and it's behind Pluto? Is that where is God in his kingdom right now?
He's above this universe, yeah.
But it's real. It's not just in your heart, right? I mean, there isn't just cherubims, you know, in your heart, and there isn't just an angelic host in your heart. It's a real kingdom that is a God sitting on a throne that is visible. That kingdom's coming here. So that kingdom is coming here. This has to go for his kingdom to be here, and it will be a physical earth, because he says, I create a new heaven and new earth. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. This is this world. So if he's coming with his kingdom, and his kingdom is not of this world, he's coming with a new world.
So you're saying the millennial reign is a heavenly type. It is unbelievers. No, everybody is
that's the way I see it.
Child for 1,000 years.
Yep.
And then Satan is loosed again.
Yeah.
And then destroyed. Then thrown away.
There is no battle when he's released. He's just let out of his prison. And what's the reason he's being let out of his prison?
Judgment,
see, the white throne judgment of Christ that the unbeliever.
Which comes 1,000 years after.
Yeah.
Where it says new heavens and new earth. Mm-hmm. That word is key.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he also puts the new heaven and new earth and coming as a thief in the night. So when is he coming as a thief in the night?
He's coming as a thief in the night when he returns in the great day.
He says it.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Zechariah chapter 12, where it says, you know, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day, right, the great day, shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as a mourning of Hadadarim in the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn every family apart. I'm just thinking of the time frame.
So
the family of the house of David apart, and the wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart. Who's Nathan?
Nathan the prophet.
Yeah. Apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart,
the
and their wives apart, the family of the house of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart, right? And I just wonder, what's the time frame? Because this is the great day of the Lord, and I'm wondering how long this takes place, where Israel looks up upon them, and their wives, and everybody's separated, and God's dealing with people.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
He's separating. That's what I say. I mean, he's clearly talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about them turning to him, which is the same day. He's talking about separating families. He's going to separate them apart. He's going to divide the sheep from the goat, the wheat from what event is it? The harvest is the end of the world. So he's dividing people once again. When is he coming as a thief in the night? 1,000 years later or the day of the Lord?
The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord. Okay. Behold, the day of the Lord to come in as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. So he's tying his second coming in with the heavens passing away with the great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Right.
This world, right? And the earth and their works there shall be burned up. So therefore, looking for in the hastening of the coming day of God, that the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we look for his promise for a new heavens and a new earth. So he's tying the new heaven and a new earth, the new creation, in with the second coming. Let me just throw some here. He's clearly burning everything up for 3.5 years. When he comes, he's destroying, he's dissolving the earth. Is that the kind of world he's going to reign on? A destroyed, devoured, dissolved earth? Because I read that when he comes, the lamb is going to lay down with the wolf. The ox and the wolf are going to eat together. Man is going to lift up. To me, it sounds like a recreated. Jesus said in Matthew 19:28, when I come in the regeneration. Regeneration is regenesis. When does he come back? 1,000 years later? Or at the second coming? And he's saying, when I come, I'm going to regenesis everything. Romans 8.
So isn't the millennium the Garden of Eden?
Absolutely.
Aren't we, at the book end, is how it began?
Yes, it's how it happens. That's right.
Yes.
Exactly.
But isn't there scripture, and you can tell me,
No.
Because I don't know the scriptures like you guys do. I don't. I just know what I've understood to be.
Or what we've been told.
Yeah, well, that's what you said, what I've understood to be.
So, my understanding is there will be a time when, rather than Satan having rule, that God will use, Israel, to be the government over people. That this is the, I always understood that to be the millennial reign, that there will still be, thank you, that there will still be government. There will be a man's government, and that not everybody was going to be saved, but that the millennial reign, the whole idea was that this is when evil will not be the prevalent, the ruling force, that it will be ruled with God, in God's without the enemy being that bring the pressure, but it still will be men and women. It will still be a government. It will still be a certain time. But what I,
Okay, so once again, in Luke, when Jesus talks about the resurrection...
Can I jump on that cockroach too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. What you understood is correct in a lot of ways, all right? Because when Christ does come, there will be a new rule. And death won't be ruling. Satan won't be ruling at that time. There will be a true government, because we're going to rule and reign with him.
Right, judges and...
Yeah. Right. Okay, but we're going to rule and reign in righteousness, because there will be no evil left. All of that's going to be done away with.
That's right.
All the natural instinct of a lion killing a rabbit is going to be gone in that lion.
That's right.
He's not going to do that anymore.
So in that, the question that comes to my mind is that then there are going to be people that don't necessarily love Jesus.
I don't see it.
They will be under.
Their
influence is totally wiped out on the planet.
But they're here existing.
But
that's
the question. Are they?
I don't think so.
Once again, let me give.
Can I read something and ask for comment?
Yeah.
I'm just going to read it and you can comment as you wish. This is Revelation 27 through 11. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog,
and
gather them together. Pardon?
On or in the four quarters of the earth?
Let me get back. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from the face of the earth, and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I'm having a hard time with putting that into everything. So I was wondering, so I'm inviting comments.
Yeah.
I need somebody to...
I have a hard time. There's too many loose ends.
I don't think there are loose ends. I think it's clear.
Well,
If they're in the earth, where are they? Okay. If they're in the earth...
Well, they're in the four quarters, right?
In.
We're in the four quarters of the earth right now.
But if they are in the earth and they are going to come up on the earth, where are they? They're in hell. They've been judged and they've been thrown into hell. And the only reason they're being released out of prison, that's it. They're being released out of prison to stand before the great white throne judgment, to be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death, which means they had to die once already.
I mean, I'm thinking of, there's just like the scripture where I don't even know where it is offhand. That they don't come to sacrifice to the Lord.
Coming to the Feast of Tabernacles.
And they're not going to receive
water.
The Feast
of Tabernacles is when we enter the kingdom.
Right.
They're not invited.
They won't be invited. They won't be able to come to that.
But they do come and encompass the saints.
That's right. Yeah.
Who are the saints?
Well, the saints are everybody who is in the millennial reign at that time. Satan's released after the 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And he surrounds the saints.
That's right. Well, and he devours them. And he brings them to the great white throne judgment.
Okay.
There's no war.
And the beloved city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Which is the same as Jerusalem. That's the beloved city.
Yeah.
So Satan is in prison for 1,000 years, where there is, during that time, the earth is empty, it's laid waste, all right? All of the things that we know right now for as world power structures are done away with. The mountains are laid low, the seas are done away with. Everything that we know has been changed back to the way it was during the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
Where no animal killed to eat. They ate the grass, right? They just, the herbs of the fields, what they had their, everybody's going to be vegan. Alright? So in that time, 1,000 years of that, then at the end of the 1,000 years, God opens the gate for Satan to come and take that peace for a short while away from the earth, right? He comes up and he goes to the four corners.
He's deceived, And he's deceiving those in the four quarters of the earth. You're saying, hey, there's a portal open. The sea is open. Right? Let's go up and win and overtake them. And he deceives them to come up to, for another battle. And there is no battle. They come up and God allows them to. Why? Because he's gathering them together to devour them, to bring them to the great white throne judgment, to be judged according to the books. They've already been judged according to salvation. They're going to now be judged according to their punishment. And then they're thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Okay, so let me just...
Can I just ask one more thing, too?
Yes.
Out of Isaiah 11, where the sucking child and the weaned child come from.
Yeah.
Do you know where they come from?
Well, I do think, when you study end times, it does seem like something is going to happen that is going to stop childbirth. And some are going to be premature birth. And I do think that somebody could be resurrected as a child and grow.
Well, there's clearly a sucking child and a weaned child in here because they're playing around the hole of the asp.
Right.
Where are the children coming from?
Like aborted babies. Yeah. I mean, are they going to be?
I just think he's going to bring. There's two women travailing on the day of the Lord. Yeah. Mystery Babylon is going to give birth to her children, and Heavenly Jerusalem is going to give birth to her children. Why can't some of those be literally children that grow up into maturity, resurrected?
Any given moment on this planet, how many children are born?
Right.
In an hour and a day.
All but right. Then I have to reconcile that with his appearing, we shall all be like him.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
How much all like him are we?
Resurrected.
Yes. Well, are we 33 years old and male?
Oh,
well,
who knows?
I think the key
it
is
doesn't
resurrected.
Say.
Right.
Yeah, the key is resurrected.
Yeah.
The glory that Adam and Eve had in the garden before they accepted sin will be returned to those who are ruling and reigning with Christ. I don't know what I will be like, but when I see him, I will be like
that's
him.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So
yeah, I understand
we
that.
Just, like I said, I think because of where we're at,
I just still have pieces that have to be fixed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's okay. Yeah.
Let me just give you, once again, some verses. I know.
But I'm not challenging. I'm just saying I have pieces that have to be fixed.
The point that I want to make is that I don't know. I'm the most ignorant person in here as it relates to Scripture and end time. But I will say this, that I have certain things that I've always been taught, that I've always believed. And I'm always willing to challenge that. When I read the Scriptures, I will bring them in. As I read them, and as they come to my attention. But here's the thing, Tom. I am so grateful that the Lord has used you in such a way that this is being discussed. And this is that we are being
I think this is great.
So when I bring in those scriptures, I never want to feel like I am trying to challenge any one person. I just want to say, listen, this is how I've always understood this, and I'm not looking for someone to say...
That's why I read what I read here, because I want
to
see what somebody
said. I'm not looking for
somebody
to say, no, you're wrong. Think of it this way. I'm asking someone to walk with me and talk about that scripture.
So let me give you some scriptures. If I ever think I'm arrogant enough to go beyond being challenged, I think everybody ought to line me up and start kicking me out that door. Right? But what I do is what you can't say about me is I'm not bringing scriptures.
Right.
I'm bringing scripture. And that's all I think a lot of what I believe is because I've been challenged by people saying these things to me. And I say, well, what does the Bible say? Well, let's just see what the Bible says. First of all, let me ask you, when the harvest is the end of the world. A clear verse that says, when is the harvest and when is the end of the world? When he comes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who enters this kingdom then? So if the kingdoms of this world are not Christ's kingdom, if he's coming with another kingdom, who enters his kingdom? I'll just read it to you. I'll give you the verse of John 3:3-5. Jesus said, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Basic verse. You need to be born again to get into his kingdom. If you're not born again, you're not in his kingdom.
And you won't even realize that you're not in his kingdom.
That's right.
You can't even see it because it's going to come down, and those who are not in Christ, changed in a moment,
that's
in
right.
twinkling of an eye, can't even realize
that's right.
where they're at. They're put under for 1,000 years.
So same verse, John 3. It's simple. John, we all know John 3. John 3, 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter. So here he says, verse 3, you can't see it. And here he says in verse 5, you can't even enter the kingdom if you're not born again. So to me, just my, as a stupid human being, my simple understanding is that kingdom is for the believer. Luke 20, when he talked about that world to come. That world to come is which world? If this world's going to end when he comes, that means he's coming with another world. But they that are counted to obtain that world and the resurrection. When's the resurrection? When he comes. And he's saying, I'm coming with that world. So that world and the resurrection, from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. Right. So here you go. Here's another one.
Okay, so real quick, to help with this, the children sucking and all that, playing all the children. So whoever is a child, when that happens, still grows up as a child into maturity throughout
yeah.
the millennial time. If he dies at 100 years old, they'll say he died as a youth, right? In that same portion of scripture right there. So the kingdom, the millennial reign, the kingdom comes, it takes all of the evil and the
yeah.
killing and the blind,
yeah.
the systems of this world, and crushes it. It crushes it into a cell, into a place of keeping, a holding.
That's right.
A prison, as it were.
I think you said it. It's hell is where they go for their... you put it perfectly
yeah.
that one day, but I can't remember how I put
the
it.
The difference between a jail and a prison.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
so you
yeah.
go...
Yeah, you're waiting your judgment.
Yeah,
yes.
you're waiting
right.
your judgment. You're in a holding tank
holding
until you're waiting.
Yeah. And so for 1,000 years...
That's
all
right.
those folks who didn't know, never trusted Christ, they're all gathered together in a spot. Where is it? Some say the middle of the earth. I think you can find scripture for that. But that they're held in an area.
Well, and it's dimensional
it
because
is,
it's yeah. a bottomless pit.
Right.
But yet it is in the earth.
Yeah.
I don't understand this.
Yeah.
But it is in the earth. There is a ball of fire in the earth.
Well, that's
that
the point.
Burning.
It's all, it's spherical.
It's,
there is no bottom.
Exactly.
There's no top.
So it's a dimensional
it's a
place.
Yes. It's
and it's not the lake of fire. And it's not the lake of fire. It's damnation. It's a nation of the damned. It's damnation. That's what damnation is. That's what being damned is. You are a nation of the damned. There's only two people.
Right.
Children of God, children of the devil. Damned or eternal life. One more thing. You know, this is good. Romans 8. Tell me what event this is. 8:14. For as many that are led by a spirit, they are the sons of God. And they have not received the spirit of bondage, and again, to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Right? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's the resurrection. When? At the second coming. For the earnest, so here you go. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So creation itself is waiting for us to be resurrected. So in itself it is resurrected. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from bondage
right.
and corruption from the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We are off waiting for that day, and he's going to... Like I said, to me, these... I understand, and I think what has happened is Christianity has gotten away from Bible study.
Amen. Yeah.
It's gotten to the point where I'm going to stand up there, I'm going to tell you people what to say, don't you dare question everything. And we... So there's a bunch of us that want to understand end times. So what do? We can watch the videos, we get the books, the YouTubes, the charts, and all the charts say something different from what I believe the Bible has been teaching us. I clearly see when Christ comes, when he says, I'm coming in the regeneration, he is going to regenerate. When he says that that kingdom is for the righteous, it's for the righteous. It's not for them. This idea where people survive and live and procreate during that whole time, I don't see it anywhere in the Bible.
Okay. Here again, go ahead, sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, Revelation 20, this is what sealed the deal for me. Revelation 25, it says, but the rest of the dead, the not again.
That's right.
Until the 1,000 years were finished.
They're dead.
And it told us who is there right before that.
That's right.
Who lives and reigns with Christ. So that was the part when all that other stuff was going on. That's the one that sealed the deal.
Okay. If you don't mind me just jumping in here with that Isaiah 24 again, because I think when we look at the whole thing, we're going to see something neat. One, and I'm going to read further than what I did before. It says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it a waste, and turneth it upside down, and scatter abroad the inheritance thereof. It shall be as with the people, as so with the priests. And so all those things are equal, all right? And verse 3 and following, and the land shall be utterly empty and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken it. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people, get that? The haughty
That's
people,
right.
The prideful people,
That's right.
The sinners of the earth do languish. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws and changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate, for the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and a few men left.
That's right.
All right? So there's only the inhabitants of the earth, all of them are going to be burned except for a few. When Jesus comes with his millennial reign of the kingdom, only a few are saved.
That's right. But that doesn't mean survived it.
No.
They're left to be resurrected,
yeah.
Which are the third Jews that still have to be resurrected on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a resurrection. When is the resurrection? The last day. There's no resurrection after the last day. He clearly teaches that the resurrection is at the last. So the people that are few, think of the three boys in the fire.
Right.
They were protected. Think of them as the Jews. They're being protected through the fire, but they still have to be resurrected on that day. And Ezekiel 37 says that it's the house of Israel he's going to breathe into them. That is the day of the Lord, that they're the last group of people that get resurrected that are the blessed. They're the last group. So there's three groups of people that, and we're going to get into this when we get into the wedding feast, into the especially the judgment seat of Christ. Because John 5:28-29, there is a resurrection in 1 hour between the just and the unjust, between the damned and the everlasting. So I believe that there is a resurrection that takes place within an hour that is of all people. Because clearly we're resurrected when we go up to him. So this starts the clock ticking, right? There's people being resurrected now. But when we go up to him, you have the Battle of Armageddon, which means people are slaughtered here. But yet when we get to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, they're raised up again.
Right.
The heathen are raised, and they sit in the Valley of Judgment.
Right. Megiddo's up north.
Yeah, the Megiddo's up here is where they're slaughtered.
Actually, a little bit farther, Mount Carmel, up in the Valley.
Okay, yeah, up in here. Yeah, and so the Valley of Jehoshaphat here, but here he's coming on a horse, and we're coming with him on horses to slaughter people. Here it says he's sitting on his throne of glory. They're not the same thing, which means people are slaughtered here that were on the earth, that were alive, and here they're being raised. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. This is actually the judgment seat of Christ, which we'll get into next week. What I think will explain a lot of this, but just quickly, I think there is an hour of resurrection between the damned and the living, between his glorious appearing and the judgment seat of Christ. I think it is literally a 1 hour day, because he clearly teaches that the resurrection is when, Kev? On the last day. How many last days can there be? If the harvest is the end of the world, if the resurrection is the world to come, how many resurrections could there be? I only know of one event that is a resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 says there's an order to the resurrection. Okay, so now this gets me to think. There's an order to it. The dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive. Then Jewish people, believers, have to be resurrected on that day. Okay, Revelation 20 says, blessed is he who had part in the first resurrection, at the second death. Not the second resurrection, the second death. So there's two parts to the resurrection. There's the blessed and the cursed. There's an order to the resurrection. The dead in Christ first, then we which are alive, then Jewish believers. And then there's a resurrection that are not the first, the blessed, the cursed. They're the damned. They're the ones who get raised at the valley of Jehoshaphat, and they get cast into hell.
Here's, okay, go ahead. I got a picture I want to show, but go ahead.
Ezekiel. Ezekiel 39. 39:8, behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hatchets. And it goes on to talk about living, that they will live, that they will inhabit the earth.
You've got to finish that verse. It says, the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire for 7 years.
Yeah. I got a problem with that. Why can't that take place on...
I'm not bringing it up because I think you have a problem with it. I'm bringing it up because I'm trying to reconcile.
Yeah.
So I see this, that there is something that is happening on the earth, that the earth is not gone, that they're doing these things. And the Lord, and it says, the Lord, this is the day whereof I have spoken. And then he talks about some of the things that are happening on the earth. So if the day that he is going, he must not be referring in that to Armageddon, if Armageddon, that's when the earth is destroyed. I don't know.
Destroyed and go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, in Romans it says creation groans.
Yes.
But it doesn't say that creation will be destroyed.
Amen.
But when this evil is then corrupting it, mm-hmm. when that's gone, it's just like us. We become incorruptible.
Right.
So the creation, so the earth, yeah.
Yeah,
so I think it's semantics with the words.
I think we have this finite mind that we can't think beyond what is. We think everything is just perfect after the new heaven and new earth, but that doesn't mean there isn't some cleansing process that takes place. It seems to me that there's days that go on that he's cleansing the temple during the millennial reign. So there doesn't mean that everything is just over. But why can't he burn weapons in the new kingdom?
Well, there's no earth to burn
it.
It is going to be an earth.
Okay, here, imagine this. All right, the kingdom of God is above this sheet, lifted up high. All right, there comes a day that the kingdom of God comes down.
Yeah.
Lower, lower, lower. And it covers this chair, which
yeah.
represents the earth.
Yeah.
Okay, that chair is still there.
Yeah.
All right, as the kingdom of God envelops all of unrighteousness, all the things that are on the earth are still there.
Yeah.
It's just covered with the righteousness of
God.
That's
right.
Just like how your sinful flesh is still in you, but you're covered. Christ is the propitiation
yeah.
of the human being. So on a bigger scale here, God lowers his kingdom down onto the earth.
Right.
Those weapons that were fought, they're still on the planet.
Yeah.
They're still there. The mountains are gone, the seas are gone, but the weapons are still there. So for 7 years, those who were in Jerusalem, because of the armies that surrounded them, as this thing was going on, they're able to heat their homes with the things that are there. The bodies that died during that battle are still there.
Yeah.
They still need to be
dealt
with.
They're carcasses. And there's even, I think, more to that than we understand.
Right. And so this, I use this as a picture, but imagine it's spiritual. And so there's spiritual things happening, and the spiritual lays down over top of the physical, and all of the unrighteousness that stood before God is done away with. But the evidences and the scars of the unrighteous things are still visible and usable. the tanks, the weapons, the javelins.
Well, and here's the point. I think these weapons, so this is my view of it. They're not. I don't think they're human weapons.
I think they're
angelic weapons that are of another dimension, because God is going to burn up everything man makes on this earth. So to me, this is, even the carcasses could be angelic beings that need to go through a process of destruction.
So these are just honest.
Yeah, right.
So now, when does he melt the elements of the fervent heat?
That was my question.
Mm-hmm. When does that happen?
Yeah, he says it in first.
Actually, that's
even at night.
That's a new heaven and a new earth, right?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, he just.
After the 1,000 years.
And Peter said a day is 1,000 years, a 1,000 years.
Yeah, but he's not going
to. It's a 1,000 year millennium.
Okay.
He melts the elements with fervent heat. That's what it says.
Yeah,
right. But you're.
All right, so after the 1,000 years, this here comes down and it lays on the earth for 1,000 years. Righteousness reigns. No death, no killing.
Okay.
All human beings are equal at this point. There's not a hierarchy in humanism. There's those who are in Christ Jesus, and then there's just the nature of things.
That's right.
All right, now, at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is released, and he's released to judgment. All right, so him and everybody who died trusting him or were put into the grave trusting him, they're caught up to the great white throne judgment. Mm-hmm. After the great white throne judgment, God sets a match to this.
New heavens, new earth.
New heavens, new earth. Everything.
See, I don't see it that way. I think the new heavens and the earth when he comes.
Yeah.
When Christ comes.
Well, now, back to where Wendy came from. All right.
Yeah.
It speaks of heaven, the barriers. Now, I heard Oliver North speaking in a congregation, and at the end of the sermon, a man came up to him and he says, "You know, it's odd. This is my first day in church. I have never been in church, but I'm in the military, and I'm learning how to bury the dead." And it speaks of this here. It says that the travelers will come in and see the bones, and there'll be a sign set up. It's a warning. Okay? Whatever killed them is not natural to the man.
Right. That's what I believe. I think you're like the name.
But it says they will bury him for 7 months.
Yeah.
Okay? And then after that, they'll still see the bones, but there will be a sign put out there, a warning.
I do. I believe you're not looking at natural event things. I think you're looking at spiritual. Well, let me just get through this.
Can I say something first?
Yeah.
That all happens before Armageddon.
Absolutely. This world can't end and then end again 1,000 years later. If the harvest is the end of the world, if Jesus said that, what is the promise of your coming and the end of the world? If he says, you can't have an end of the world when he comes and then an end of the world 1,000 years later. And once again, I've heard, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I've heard people say, well, day of the Lord is 1,000 years. So now you can just use it however you want.
Yeah.
But in 2 Peter, when he's talking about that, what is the promise of your coming?
Well,
that's what he's talking about, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. Not the pre-creation. He's saying the promise of your coming, that a day of the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years. Well, it's been 2,000 years. And what did Jesus say? Be ready against the third day. So that promise about the day of the Lord, 1,000 years, is the second coming.
That's talking about the patience of the Lord.
Exactly.
Could the millennial reign of Christ be the day of the Lord?
We can't wait 1,000 years.
It doesn't say that. Once again, let me read it again. The Lord is not concerning of his promise of his coming. The promise of his coming is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years. Okay, so that's the promise, 1,000 years. But the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. When is that? Is it 1,000? Is it going to take him 1,000 years to get here?
No.
He clearly comes on that day. Okay.
Yeah.
And what is that? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. This can't be 1,000 years later. It has to be there. So listen what it says. Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth in which dwells righteousness. I don't see a 1,000-year gap here. I see one event that takes place.
But two things. But that has to be reconciled with all other scripture. And so I would need to look into that better, because why would you have to bury the dead for 7 years if it's all new? If it's all been burned with a fervent heat, why there would be nothing left?
Because even on the new earth, God has a cleansing process.
But he burns the earth, but there's still bones to be buried.
Yeah.
That doesn't reconcile. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that doesn't reconcile. That I'd have to look at. But the other thing is Ezekiel 39:21. And I will set my glory among the heathen.
Yeah.
And all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord.
So the heathen are going to come to his judgment. When's his judgment? The judgment seat of Christ. All the heathen are going to be raised. What did Jesus say?
But it's the new temple. This is Ezekiel.
Yeah.
This is. Oh.
If they're are you going to be are they going to be judged during the millennium? Because I only see two judgments. I see the judgment seat of Christ and where he judges somebody according to salvation or damnation, and I see a great white throne judgment. Is he going to constantly, people going to, through the millennial, going to keep coming up to him on the day of judgment? Where he's, you're against me today. If it is appointed for man once to die, then cometh,
after this the judgment.
If a guy dies, here's the great white throne judgment. If a guy dies the week before, when was the second death? If he's already died here, when was his judgment? Because he goes right to the great white throne judgment. You understand what I'm saying? Where was his judgment according to salvation? If he died and went right to the great white throne judgment, where was his judgment according to salvation? You understand? There's two judgments. There's a judgment seat of Christ in which he's going to judge everybody according to salvation. Then there's a great white throne judgment. Then he's going to judge the unbeliever according to their damned eternal hell.
Well, I guess what I have to clarify or figure out is what or who is God?
Okay.
I'll say this. He's not a human.
All right, now.
The Spirit.
He's in the earth.
Okay, all of those are true. He is but there is a spiritual or a physical representation of the spiritual God. All right, in Hebrew, in the time that Ezekiel was written, God and Michel Tumach and all those nations that are spoken of there were actually right in Turkey. All right, so all of these conflicts, all these things that are coming from their seed. And their seed was in the Turkish area, what we call Istanbul
Asia
today.
Asia Minor,
in that area. We call it Turkey today. But it was Gog and Meshach, Tubal, and all of those were right there. So the land mass is right there. Where did I get that from? I got it from FAI,
yeah.
Right? And that guy, he explained it marvelously. And so he didn't know, but he explained that in the ancient maps where those locations are. We think it's coming out of Russia or somewhere out of Europe, but in the ancient maps, those locations were physical spots right in Turkey, where Syria and Turkey joined together now. That's where all of those places were at his time. So physically, it's coming out of Turkey, the Asia Minor, or Asia where it is today, but spiritually, it's coming out of heaven.
Okay, because he says in half of 38 and all of 39, mm-hmm. it's a victory over God in Mesha, okay, which would bring me to say, think, he says he's bringing them north to Israel.
Yeah.
So it would make me think that it would have been Armageddon. Not that I'm saying it is.
Yes.
But it says it's the victory over Gog and Mesha. And then for 7 months, they'll bury the dead.
Now, in my hypothesis, I really haven't spoken that much about this, is that there's two battles. There's a spiritual battle that Jesus is going to take care of, but there's a physical army that's going to come against Israel out of the surrounding areas, Judea and all those places that it's talked about. You know, and if, and just if, all right, I'm shooting at the stars here, if that is true, they would have 7 physical years to deal with all of those weaponries and stuff like that before the righteousness of God comes down and conquers the spiritual, because the physical had already been done with.
And I think there's something to what you're saying, too, because it says, therefore, Son of Man prophesied against Gog. Gog, okay, and say, thus saith the Lord, I am against thee, O Gog, chief prince.
Mm-hmm.
So Gog is a prince, and he's not a human. Right. He's a principality. He's a devil. He might be the king of the bottomless pit.
Yes.
He might be. I don't know. I mean, it's just a speculation, but to me, he's...
Well, would Turkey or that region...
Well, in Revelation, God comes up out of the earth.
Be his Eden. I mean, if God has the Garden of Eden, Satan has to have some place that he calls home.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And I don't think it's Satan.
Yeah.
I think he's a chief prince under the authority of Satan.
Well, and we've learned through the whole time here that anything that God has done, Satan's trying to manipulate.
Exactly. Exactly. And to me, he's chief prince. So if he's a chief prince and he's not even a human, he's a principality, how do I know Tubal and Meshach are nations, demonic nations?
One day I will know.
Like I said, I think we've had things rammed down our throats that they had to have Meshach and Tubal. Meshach, that's Moscow.
Right.
But Moscow was never even written when the Bible was written. Nobody even knew of Moscow. Chief prince of Rosh. Oh, that's Russia. I don't know that. Yeah, he says people just make them. Well, they come from the north, and Russia's north of Israel. The north is the northern army. They're a dimensional army. They come from another dimension. That's not. What did Jesus? That's really what I wanted to get into Isaiah 14 today about the devil. He says he's in the sides of the north.
Well, what is the north?
It's the north side. It's right. It's a dimensional place. Turn to Isaiah 14.
Uh-huh. Praise God that. We have the scripture. Praise
Absolutely.
God that He allows for us to fellowship, to learn,
Absolutely.
To grow, to discuss.
If I'm acting frustrated, it's not you.
I know.
It's me that I feel like I have not done a good job
presenting what I believe the Bible says.
But
what the role of the Holy Spirit is. That's what I would say to you. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal to me, pray for me, share what you have. We all share what we have. It is the Holy Spirit that is going to bring it into my heart.
Absolutely.
Not because somebody didn't explain it right. He will impart it.
Right.
I trust him.
So let's look at the devil. Isaiah 14. 14:4. Now you tell me if this is Nebuchadnezzar or Belteshazzar, if this is literally the king of Babylon. Verse 4. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, saying, how hath the oppressor ceased and the golden city ceased? The Lord had broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He smote the people in his wrath and continual stroke, and he ruled the nations in anger and persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against thee. Hell from beneath is moved up to meet thee at thy coming. Hell, not the lake of fire, hell is come to meet thee at thy coming, and it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth that have raised from out of their thrones, all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pop is brought out to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms do cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Are we talking about the king of Babylon here, or are we talking about Satan? We're talking about Satan. And what's it saying? Hell is going to meet you. That means he's going to die like a man. It is appointed for man once to die, right? Then cometh the judgment. He still has to face the judgment. That means he's going to become like a man.
Doesn't that tie into Revelation 20:13?
Exactly it does.
He gave up the dead that were in it, death, and hell delivered up the dead which
That's
were
right.
them.
That's right. Death that means hell. He has to go there first.
Right. Yeah.
And he goes to hell. Let's keep reading.
It's neat that he says stirreth up the dead.
Yeah.
It's like,
this goes along with it now, with everything we've been learning. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north.
Amen.
You think that's Canada?
It could be, because they go, oh, Canada?
Right? I mean, what are we talking about here?
I'm sorry.
He says he wants to sit on the throne of God. He wants to be part of the congregation. Is the unbeliever part of that congregation? No, it's us.
Yeah.
And he's going to sit on the sides of the north. I don't understand this, but I know we're talking about another dimension.
That's where God is.
He's talking about the angelic host.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's the only star that doesn't move in the heavens.
Exactly.
Right. The North Star.
That's right.
That's because we're on a saucer.
Don't say that.
We're not going there. We're not going there. That's okay. Whether it's flat or round, it doesn't matter. Okay.
They didn't change the location of the cross.
So look what it says. Verse 14, he said, I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. Remember, what are the clouds? We are. What are the heights? God, Job says, is God not in the height of heaven? Where is heaven? And that's what I mean. I think, Wendy, maybe I did a bad job saying, there is going to be a planet. There's going to be trees, birds. It's going to be a perfect planet, a heavenly planet. It's going to be perfect. So, what you have is there's going to be another world under us that is desolate, that doesn't have birdies, deer running in your front yard. It is a place of vipers, dragons, desolate. There's nothing there to quench your thirst. So there are two worlds. One is under us and one is on top. And the one on top is perfect. And from what I can see, it's for us. Okay.
Hold on to that thought for a second, because I just lit a light in my head. The children play with the holes over the cockroach den, right?
Yes.
The asp, right? And so anyhow, so a little child is able to rule over the demonic hosts, and it can't hurt them.
That's right.
I think that's what rain means.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think part of dispensational is that we're going to have these kingdoms to rule.
Yes.
But that is a part of being haughty and proud. And I'm going to rule over you.
I get paid back
better than you now.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. So I'm glad we brought that up. Stay there in Isaiah 14, because I forgot to bring this up, but listen to what it says in Matthew 24 about the second coming. You're still in Isaiah. If you want to turn there, go ahead. Verse 44, therefore you be ready for what hour the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, his Lord shall him make a ruler over his household. Not over people, over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant in who the Lord, when he cometh, find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Not people.
Right.
See, I agree with Gail. It's like we get this idea, I'm going to get payback on Pelosi. She's going to clean my stall. She's going and Schumer's going to make me bread. And when he does it, I'm going to crack him with a rod of iron. But God says, vengeance is mine, not yours, Dave. And when's his vengeance? His vengeance is on the day of the Lord when he deals with them. He is going to restore everything back to the way it was at the Garden of Eden. And what did God give man dominion over at the Garden? People?
No.
Over his creation.
Angels.
Over his creation. We were going to judge angels, but he gave him dominion. We were husbandmen. We're going to be husbandmen again. There are going to be trees. There's going to be rivers, plants, animals in a perfect world. Perfect. And that's why, to me, they're not invited. That's how I
tended to the garden.
That's right. We tended to the garden.
We tended. Right?
That's right.
But we didn't rule over another human being. Adam didn't rule over Eve.
That's right.
You know, so there was that ruling that we have in our mind.
Yeah.
Of ruling, like you said, I was always taught you into all these. My whole life is that I'm going to have a kingdom of my own, and I'm going to rule all of the sinners that live there, and I'm going to teach them the righteousness of God with a rod of iron.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're taught in the Baptist understanding of the millennial reign.
Right.
But that's really not what the Bible says.
Well, when you study the rod of iron,
mm-hmm.
when you study the rod, it's a one-time event.
Right.
It's in Armageddon. Where he takes the potters and he smashes them and he throws them under this chaff and they are brought away to the threshing floor to hell.
Yeah.
There's nothing left of them when he beats them with the rod.
You can sell the rod as a shepherd's.
That's right.
Weapon.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's still a shepherd.
Yeah, and he will chasten you. I've been chastened by him.
If you belong to him, he chastens you.
That's right.
You know?
Let's get through, because next week we're going to move on. Let's get
this is so fun.
It is.
I don't care.
Whatever you guys want to do. But. Okay, so let's look at this guy. He's going to become a human. He's going to get killed. Hell is going to meet him. Not the lake of fire. Hell is going to meet him. And they that see thee narrowly shall look at 16:14-16 and consider, saying, is this the man?
Mm-hmm.
Not is this the angel.
Right.
Is this the man that had made the earth to tremble, did shake the kingdoms, that had made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, and opened not the house of the prisoners. All kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and the raiment. So now he's going to put on raiment. What is raiment? For us, it's the wheat. For them, it's the tares. For us, it's a resurrected body. For them, it's a resurrected body of damnation.
Yes.
He's going to put on a new raiment. Okay. Of those that are slain.
What he was covered with.
That's
the
right.
Sardis, every
That's
precious
right.
stone. He was the bright, shining one of heaven.
That's right.
All of that's going to be stripped from him. All of his glory, all of his external beauty. And he's going to be like one of us.
He's going to put on the raiment of a worm. See, that in Revelation 3, where it says, on the belly, that's actually a prophecy.
Yeah.
That's actually a prophecy of his future outcome. He's going to be as a worm.
Right.
His resurrected body is going to be as a worm. The worm is the resurrection of the unjust.
As Peter says, the worm dieth not.
That's right, where the worm dieth not.
Yeah.
Elizabeth says, and the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, and go down into the stones of the pit. The carcass is trodden under feet. So the carcass, even though it's dead, it's alive. It's a worm. So it's being trodden under. It means it's being trod over, right? We're trodding over them. They're dead. They're twice dead. We're twice alive. Once dead. Okay. Thou shalt be joined with them in burial. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed the land, the slain of thy people, a seed, a people of evildoers, the world of cities. And I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon. So here you go. The name, the remnant, the son, the nephew. Four. It's dimensional. Okay? Saith the Lord. And I will make a possession of for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep them with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. And the Lord of hosts had sworn, saying, surely I have thought so, it shall come to pass, and I have purpose, it shall stand. So look at it. This continues. I will break the Assyrian. You know what the Assyrian is? We just found out that the king of Babylon is not here. You know what the Assyrian is? He is the devil incarnate. He's the devil with a human body now. He's the devil incarnate, and if you go on to read there, keep reading there, he's going to slaughter that guy.
Again, the son of perdition.
That's right. So, think of this too.
Yeah.
We've talked about the son of perdition, right, that he's a devil. The son of perdition in Revelation 19 goes immediately, he's cast alive into the lake of fire. Which means he already went. This is Armageddon, when he's cast alive into the lake of fire.
So
they're already, that means they already had to be here and die once,
right,
so they could be judged and thrown into the lake of fire. Everyone else is judged and thrown down to hell because they just died the first time.
Yeah, and they have a time period that they're there just as a false prophet.
That's right.
And and his guy.
We're going to get into what 1,000 means. It doesn't, and I know there's a time in numbers, but there's more to the number 1,000 than just from one to nine, right? How many women did Saul? David, his first coming to Christ, he couldn't get the kingdom because he had blood. Right? So that's the first coming. He paid the price by blood. Solomon is a picture of the second coming, king of peace, Shalom, Solomon. And how many women did he have?
1,000.
1,000. The king of peace has 1,000 women. We're the bride. These things aren't coincidences.
Yeah.
See, the number, these numbers aren't just fixed numbers. They're more of a dimensional number, too. And the number 1,000 is, they get thrown down into hell because that is their sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they're brought up and they receive the reward. All right.
Can I just share a blessing that God gave me? Because I, from my dispensational days, I had some questions about harvest. And as you were talking about this on the last day, it answered that question, I believe, in that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, right?
Right.
But he was raised from the dead. So on that day, when the dead are raised, they are the first fruits.
That's right.
We which are alive and remain are the harvest, and the last Jews are the gleanings.
The gleanings.
Amen.
The corner of gleanings.
I had questions how that was all going to work.
See,
and as soon as you said that,
it clicks.
It clicked.
That is a blessing.
That is.
Amen. All right.
Closing prayer.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask for you to forgive me. And my brothers and sisters to forgive me. I think sometimes I seem arrogant, pride. Lord, please let it not be. And if I've offended anybody here, if I've spoke out of hand, if I've taught anything in error, correct me, Lord, and hold it not against my brothers and sisters. I think you know me. I think you know that I have a passion for your word. And I don't like being lied to, and I feel we've been lied to, Lord. And I know that I'm not alone, and you've shown these things too, but I present them to my family here, my church family, that they would ponder these things. Lord, correct my errors and teach us your ways, because you said, let God be true and every man a liar. Lord, the way I cannot be a liar is just by quoting your verses. So please, Lord, have mercy on us, have mercy on me. Guide us through these teachings. Teach us the word of God that people don't even want to delve into, but you are opening up this word to us. The Spirit has met us here this morning, Lord. This was good. This was a fervent, a great discussion, back and forth. Thank you, for I know that you're looking down on us and you're being blessed by a group of people that just are searching the truth. We know that you are the truth. And I pray as Curtis brings forth more of the Word of God this morning, Lord, fill our hearts with your Word, which is Jesus Christ, and draw us closer to him, and less like ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.